It's no surprise that updating the electricity grid today will make for a better tomorrow. Increased self-sufficiency is just one of the benefits. The Great Grid Upgrade will also boost the economy and create new green jobs. And best of all, you can continue doing the things you love, like watching the latest epic nature documentary or listening to this podcast while caring for the planet too. Find out more at nationalgrid.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello, you're listening to The Plodcast, the nature and countryside podcast from BBC Country Farm magazine. My name's Fergus Collins and I'm your host. And today we're off to The Dreaming, which is a wonderful country house in Mid Wales, a mindful place of retreat into nature set up by the singer and songwriter Charlotte Church. Our very own Margaret Bartlett went to meet Charlotte to find out more. Later, join me and the team as we talk about spring in the countryside and share our own encounters with nature. Good, bad and ugly. And please, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. My email is editor@countryfile.com. And our favourite email of the week will receive a book from the revered Plodcast Library. But for now, let's head off to meet Charlotte deep in the Welsh countryside.
Thank you. And it's amazing to be in this absolutely beautiful house.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you found Rhodoldog House.
So I came here 2 years ago, two and a bit years ago, and the first time I saw the house, it was in November, and I was just coming for a nose.
Yeah.
I saw that it was up for sale, and it was way out of my price range, and I wasn't looking for any sort of property. I was looking for a field. I wanted to start like a glamping business.
Ah, lovely.
And so, yes, I just got absolutely spellbound by the land and the forest and the waterfalls, and it just absolutely blew my tiny mind. And yeah, from the first moment I came to, and I wasn't really interested in the house was just a bit like, okay, whatever, it was a shell.
Yeah.
But it was the land and the Elan Valley in general. Like, it's such a beautiful place. And I'd never really forayed into Mid Wales, so it felt like a real exploration. But I totally fell in love with the land. The land lassoed me, and I've been its faithful servant ever since.
Well, it is incredible. You're sitting at the house, sits at the top of this gorgeous valley, and you have this absolutely beautiful view down the valley, and behind is this amazing forest. Tell me about the land behind the house.
So the property sits on 47 acres that belongs to the property. Some of that is, you know, big open fields with big veteran trees, some Scots pine and some oaks and beeches. And then behind the house, we've got 33 acres of forest, which go up on a really steep mountain. It's halfway. It's not quite a hill and it's not quite a mountain. Somewhere in between.
Yeah. It looks quite high. When you're approaching from the valley, it looks very tall.
Yeah. And so there's lots of different, it's Paws Plantation on ancient woodland. Mm. So we'll be embarking on a project now over the next 50 years to turn it back into what it should be, which is native oak upland.
So how will that process happen? Do you need to actively replant, or will you be leaving it to do its own thing?
Basically, at the moment, it's pretty overplanted.
Yeah.
But you know, it's got an ecosystem all of its own, you know, so you don't want to go in there and go, oh, just because this isn't native, then we're going to absolutely decimate it and clear fell. It's also a community of trees, you know, that are all structurally reliant on the other. And so there are lots of different schools of thought on the best way to do this. But the way I want to do it is to do it very gently, really.
Yeah.
but there's all sorts in there. There's red western cedar, larch, Douglas fir, Sitka spruce, Norway spruce.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's an absolutely beautiful woodland. Mm. And there's also some, you know, native trees in there. There's lots of birch and beech and oaks and hazel and holly, particularly along the waterfalls. But I feel like particularly in the red western cedar woodland, it's there's something about it which is just so relentlessly vertical. It just it reminds me of Japan. I don't know why, but there's just something about that. But it's very quiet in there. It's very dark. And then you've got these gargantuan protruding rocks. And they're called Rhododog rocks. There's a triple SI, an area of special scientific interest on the rocks. Yeah. There's lots of protections on this land. There's bird protections. There's a special area of conservation because of the water. There's lots of protections on this land, which is really great because it just means that it can hopefully always, not just like this property and where we sit, but because of the wider nature interests in terms of the red kites. It's also designated a dark sky area.
Wonderful.
Hopefully then this land can remain as nature intended, like a bit purer, and people are just a bit more conscientious about polluting the land around here.
And is that your intention? I mean, what do you sort of see the future of the land here? Well, as long as you're a steward of it, what would you like to see happen with it?
Part of the point of the dreaming was to democratize the use of the land. That I just, when I came here, I immediately felt like it was such a powerful place, that there was such drama and such healing, such beauty to be found, such magic to be found here. So I think a retreat center made a lot of sense to me. And the geography feeds into that in a number of ways. Like I said, whether it's, you know, the beauty of the soft moss or the drama of the rocks or the emotional, like, waterfalls and how it's situated in the valley and the water just sort of flows and moves everything through this valley. It all just felt very healing.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the wider project, then, you know, a huge part of what I want to do here is about ecotourism and sustainability, but also how do we take a patch of land which has been very much manhandled and how do we gift it back to nature? How do we live in symbiosis as humans with the land, really? And there are parts of the land which are temperate rainforest, and so that's probably what it's wanting to turn into more and more.
You know, there's quite a lot of farmland around here still. So was there, how were the neighbours about your plans?
So I think that, you know, I think it's a really interesting question that we all need to start trying to figure out. Like, how do we enable farmers and the people who have worked the land and been custodians of the land to feel like, you know, the old ways are still, you know, still have some value, that you're not just going, you know, the way that you've done and the way your family and the generations of your family here have done things is wrong. Sure. You can't do it anymore. So how do you sort of bring the people and the old ways along with you, but while saying we're in a bit of a pickle here and we have to adapt? There's changes that we need to make to the way that we work with the land and not just sort of do whatever we want. Try and bend nature to our will, but like force it into some sort of submission that we can intensively sheep farm or have millions of chickens along the banks of rivers which are polluting them.
Yeah.
And really, truly, I think that we also know it deep within our cause.
Yeah.
I think that within cellular memory there is a whole load of wisdom and knowledge that we can access, but it just takes for us to be open-minded, willing, and slow down and be quiet enough to hear that wisdom and knowledge from right within our own bodies.
And is that part of the journey that people go on when they come here to do a retreat? Is it I mean, is it very nature-based, the offerings that you do here?
Yes, lots of the offerings here are very nature-based. The three pillars at the Dreaming are sound healing.
Yeah.
And that means, I mean, sound healing can come in many forms. It can be basically dancing at the dawn with a silent disco.
Yes.
and just absolutely shaking your body on the land. It can be singing to the land, which is another practice I like to take guests on.
Yeah.
It can be sound journeys from different sound healing practitioners where they use different instruments and gongs and singing in which to take people to a place of deep relaxation or for some people for deep journeying. So that's sound healing, nature connection.
Yeah.
And nature connection, again, can happen in a myriad of ways, whether it's sending people off to go and find things on the land, go and make things from the land, go and make things on the land, whether it's using natural materials to craft, whether it's stargazing, whether it's working with different soil ecologies and planting, foraging. There are a million ways that we can connect with nature. So we are exploring, and on every retreat, no retreat is the same. We have different practitioners and we have different offerings. Yeah. And then the third is ceremony.
Lovely.
So I sort of view the whole experience as a ceremony from the moment people get here, because the first part of ceremony is separation. Separation from the old ways, the way you're used to living, you know, the old patterns of behavior, the familiar. And so just to come here is the sort of opening, the separation that you require to start ceremony. And then there are all sorts of little rituals and ceremonies that we do, whether it's following the cycles of the moon. Again, there are so many wonderful practices, both from this land and from other indigenous cultures throughout the world. We try not to appropriate, but take influence from. There's so many ways to celebrate.
Yes, of course.
And to play.
Yeah.
And to go deep.
Yeah.
But in a gentle way. What I feel really passionate about is that actually there are a lot of people who are quite traumatized from all manner of things, whether that's childhood experiences, whether it's experiences into adulthood, which they haven't had time to properly grieve, you know, the death of a loved one, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a career, of a big job that meant a lot to you. And I think that the way that society functions because of consumerist capitalism and how that's sort of like no bounds right now, knows no limits, then, you know, people are absolutely frayed. Their nervous systems are totally burnt out from overwork and from
constant stimulation.
Exactly. Constant stimulation, which is not our natural state. And so I think that people are finding it very difficult to remember even how to rest. How do we switch off? And of course now, because the technology is in our smartphones rather than just on computers, it's always with us. And so there just feels often like, certainly for me, it can be really intense and there's no escape. And so another part of what we do here at The Dreaming is we don't have any Wi-Fi.
Oh, lovely.
And there's no signal.
Okay. Isn't that nice?
And so, you know, but it's an interesting way to do it, because rather than, hand your phones in, which feels a bit like, you know, people are quite addicted and quite like, some people are even calling smartphones like an exo-organ, organ outside of the body.
Gosh, it's kind of almost like a demon from,
from Northern Lights, totally.
Yeah.
So, but when you've got, you're allowed to keep your phone, it just doesn't really work the way that Germany does. So I think, again, that just gives people, some people come here and they're a bit like, oh, I'm really a bit anxious about that. Like, I'm checking it but you very quickly, like literally within 6 hours, I think, of people being here, they're just like, oh yeah, I haven't looked at my phone for a while. There's no point.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Just totally switched off.
Yeah, totally switched off from that and totally switched on to the group that they're with and conversation and the beauty of this place and the beauty of this land.
It's incredibly peaceful. You do feel an incredible kind of peace here in this house.
Yeah, for me, it's like the way that I describe it, it's like a balm, B-A-L-M, a balm, because And also just the practices that we have here. And I'm a facilitator here in the midweek on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And so like one of my practices is singing to the land.
Lovely.
And another one is Celestial Blessings, which is when we dance up the dawn and we've got silent disco headphones on. And I just literally go out there and just shake my body. Like I absolutely lose my mind, like I'm at a rave.
And this is all happens outside?
It all happens outside, yeah. And it all happens at the break of day.
Oh, how wonderful.
And so sometimes you get to see, depending on the time of year, you get to see, you know, like a beautiful, clear, dark night sky turn into that amazing sunrise. And and so sometimes it is transcendental.
Yes.
Just to be like dancing, listening to music, watching this amazing thing that happens every single day. Like just such an amazing show from nature.
Exactly.
And once you tune into it and the birds are circling. My gosh. It's just, I literally had a 5-minute dance with a red kite the other day. It was just like circling in these tiny circles above my head.
Oh, how amazing.
Oh, it was great. It was so great.
Oh, incredible.
But also to watch guests then, people just like going off onto the land, dancing in the streams, like just really letting themselves go. It's just, it's really beautiful to watch. We can find awe in many things, I think. And actually, we really find awe in each other.
Mm.
People who are doing amazing things it fills me with awe just to watch people just really letting themselves go and giving themselves to that practice.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And you talk about forest bathing as well. I mean, how does that work? How does that process work?
So there's a number of ways that we engage in forest bathing.
Mm.
We've got one offering called Sensing Place, which is just about being out in the forest and being together around a campfire at the beginning, doing some breathing exercises, really dropping into our bodies and into our senses. And then we send people off onto the land to really sort of be in their animal body and just to try and be as sensory as they can, like to really heighten their senses. And then see what they're drawn to. There's just...
So it's not particularly... You don't go through a particular meditation or anything like that. It's more...
We do all sorts. Yeah. Mm. So sometimes like for singing to the land, for example, then I do sort of like a guided meditation first. Mm. And it's very much, again, to be in the land, but just be sort of very open with your body and that you're listening. So singing to the land mainly is about making sounds, rather than singing, and we're mimicking the sort of sounds that we're hearing, whether it's the birds or the sss of the waterfall. And then we get into sort of more rootsy, gutsy territory and do sort of call and response things. But that's when we get deeper into the forest where it feels a bit darker and a bit more... And it's very interesting. People react all sorts of ways. Yeah, some people just come to this place and just immediately cry and don't stop for the 3 days, but it's like a release. So I do think that there's something, I think this world is full of holy hills.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of them, just somewhere that just feels like is so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful that it just opens you up. It's like a key.
Getting here to this place was, you know, in terms of the renovation and all the planning permissions and all the other things, was a big, long journey for you and difficult at times. I mean, that was documented in your TV program as well, the Charlotte Church's Dream Build.
Yes.
How do you feel now that we're here and that you know, you're welcoming people here. How has it helped you in your own healing journey, or has it been a big process in itself?
I think that the renovation was like, you know, it was hugely stressful.
Yes.
I can imagine. But nothing good is ever easy. We can't expect everything, you know, us to be well and happy and stable and comfortable all the time. Like, it's hard. Growth is uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so that's the way that I sort of view what it's been like to get here. It is like the house is absolutely beautiful. It's exactly what I wanted. It's exactly what I envisioned.
Yeah.
You know, when I look back at all of my scribblings in my journal from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's, you know, all the experiences, how people are feeling, like it's all happening.
Yeah.
And that takes some serious life energy and some struggle. And so I think it's okay as long as you just go, that's what it's going to be. And that's okay. And I have capacity. And when I don't have capacity, then I'm also allowed to, you know, fall apart a bit.
Yeah.
But also it keeps me doing these practices because much like everybody else, I'm really busy. I'm a mother of three. I got a toddler and two teenagers. I run a charity. I'm trying to pay the bills, you know, I'm trying to keep it all going.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, my family, there's a few members of my family who were unwell.
Yeah.
You know, we're all juggling, trying to keep, you know, trying to nurture all of our relationships and the people that we love. And me being here as a practitioner means that I come here and I do these practices. And actually, if I was left to my own devices at home, I'd probably fill it with a million other things, you know, cleaning the house, sorting out the books, whatever it is, like the 10 million jobs we've all got all the time. And so being able to come here and lead a group of people through these practices makes me do it myself and makes me slow down, makes me reflect, makes me, you know, go out and explore and go deeper into myself, go deeper into nature.
So outside you created several spaces, didn't you, for the guests and just for general doing crazy stuff like wild swimming. And tell me about what you made outside.
So outside, when I came here, everything was very separate. It was like there's the forest over there and then there's the house standing very imposed, you know, it's very imposing. And then there's some just lawned bits and there's some sheep. And I suppose when I came, I wanted to gift the house back to the land because everything felt very separate. And again, it felt like it'd been a bit manhandled, needed a woman's touch.
Yeah.
And so I've just tried to make it all a bit more fluid.
Yeah.
That the planting all around the house mimics the streams and the waterfalls. We've planted loads more trees now in the big sort of meadow at the front. We don't cut the grass anymore. We just sort of let it all go into meadowlands. And there's also some orchards down there with all sorts of different fruit trees growing. We've got a big growing area at the bottom, which at the moment is called the Rings of Rodaldog, which is where we're going to be growing our food. We've introduced bees into the ecosystem and, so I've just tried to sort of, in a way, let nature rewild, but then also make spaces for humans to be, which again are upholding those ideals of like beauty and symbolism. So we've got a moon garden where all the paths make up the Celtic symbol for the moon.
Oh, wonderful.
And in the moon garden, all of the flowers are white. Some of them release their scent in the nighttime.
I noticed some Daphne at the front there. It's beautiful, isn't it?
They're starting to bloom.
Yes, gorgeous.
And then we've also got Woodhenge. So before there's a Stonehenge, there was apparently always a Woodhenge. So they wouldn't quite commit to moving the big stones until they'd had a Woodhenge there. So we've got a Woodhenge. We've got Court of the Holly King, which was the first ceremonial space that we created, which is in the forest.
Oh, how lovely.
And that's just a big fire pit surrounded by holly. Again, in the old Celtic ways, holly was a plant for protection.
Yeah.
And then we've got a big threshold archway called the Gateway to the Underworld, which was made with all of the, throughout the forest, there's a lot of veteran oaks still standing, but there's a lot of them that have been cut down.
Right.
In order to make way for the pines. This was, you know, in the 20s. So there was a lot of rotting oak on the forest floor. Obviously, that's good habitat for a lot of creatures, and that can feed the forest for hundreds of years. But some of the smaller bits we took and we made into this beautiful archway. So it's really twisted and gnarly, but there's also something about it which pays homage to, you know, what was there, the tree, what has happened there, you know, how these oaks were just sort of cut down systematically to plant this fast-growing pine. So yeah, that's the Court of the Holly King. There's the Pool of 100 Reflections. There's two plunge pools.
Wonderful.
There's a nest, a big, beautiful human-sized nest.
Oh, wonderful.
There's a beautiful swing over the stream.
And so what do you see as the future of the sanctuary? I mean, you said you're going to sort of rewild it, you know, let it do its thing in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think rewilding, you know, by letting it do its thing in a way, but I also, you know, I really want to be a part of a conversation in this part of the world, which is about, you know, which is wider than this place, which is like, okay, well, there are a lot of pine forests here and there is a lot of intensive sheep farming and that's not what needs to happen, basically. But there's also a lot of land.
Mm.
It's very sparsely populated, this county of Powys. You know, it's quite unspoilt because there aren't many. You know, there's not much light pollution. And like I said, there's quite a lot of protections on this land.
Yeah.
And it's a really special land as well in terms of Wales and
Welsh history. Yeah, the Eland Valley has its own sort of little mystery, doesn't it? I mean, it's got this real atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And yeah, historically, there's a lot of stuff that went down here. And yeah, the Druids believe that this sort of the heart, the centre of Wales, is magically very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would love to be a part of the conversation and hopefully some action into how we are changing the landscape for the future.
Yeah.
But bringing everybody along, this doesn't have to be the old ways versus the new ways.
Yeah.
And so That is something that I feel quite passionate about, and that once I've sort of got the dreaming up and going, that I would love to start that conversation.
Mm, that would be amazing. And in terms of accessibility, I mean, you've been quite vocal politically and about climate action and on various platforms. And you also here, I read on the website, you want to make it accessible for people. So, is it, am I right in thinking there's one place that's sort of on a sliding scale of payment, you know, to try and make it accessible to more people?
So at the Dreaming, we've got a sliding scale price range, basically. So it goes from £150 a night per person to £320 a night per person. And all of the rooms are gorgeous. So that the price doesn't necessarily reflect that you'll have a much better room. It's more just like, I want to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
And that's everything included. That's all your food. But nothing is extra. Once you get here, you don't have to put your hands in your pockets at all.
Mm.
But also on each retreat, we have a pay what you can space.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes two spaces. And that is, if you can afford a fiver a night, then you can still come here.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's really important to me. I think that often well-being is focused towards people who can afford it, basically. And, you know, even those low-cost well-being options, things like the Calm app, for example, you know, it's still mainly accessed by sort of middle-class white people.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong, of course, they need calming too, they need well-being too, but I just really want this to be a place where everybody can break bread around the table and that everybody feels welcome regardless of, you know, how you identify in terms of your gender, your race, all of it really, your age. So it's very important to me that we start to integrate society, because we're really in our factions and we're being made ever more so to be in our factions. We're sort of being pitted against each other. Mm. And I think it's just totally against our our nature. Our nature truly, if helped along a little, is very collaborative. And that is much, much deeper in the gene pool than, you know, any sort of tribe, you know, sort of not tribalism, but factionism. Factionalism? Something like that.
Yeah. I think that's a word.
One of those words.
Yeah. We're meant to be with other people.
Yeah, exactly. We're meant to be with other people. It gets tricky when it's too many people. You know, I think that the Mayans did it most successfully. Then they had cities of about 10,000 people back in the day. But again, as soon as you have that amount of people, and as soon as there are thousands of people rather than hundreds of people living together, then you need a collective, there needs to be a God, basically.
Yeah.
There needs to be something that you all believe in, which is external. So that's quite fascinating. So that faith and belief end up being the uniting factors, which makes people not fight. But at the moment, I think that, you know, that has become capitalism and stuff. And we're just drowning in stuff, whether it's like, you know, YouTube stuff. Clogging up our brains, or whether it's, you know, chicken poo clogging up the rivers. So we're in a bit of a pickle, and we are going to have to adapt. And I absolutely believe that we can, and I will carry on fighting until my last breath.
It's a lovely description. So is your music career kind of taken a back seat at all, or are you kind of?
I think I'm almost ready to start doing it again. For the last 6 years, I've had a band called Charlotte Church's Late Night Pop Dungeon.
Which has been living in Cardiff, of course. I've seen lots of posters.
So that was sort of it, scratching my musical itch, and it was a phenomenal amount of fun. But now that's sort of come to an end. We've stopped doing it, much to the dismay of lots of serious party goers. I want to create some original music again, because I just love it. It's just absolutely in my veins. It's just an absolute part of who I am and what needs to flow within me. And what I need to say, like, this, so I've been through so much. And I think as you get older, particularly in your 30s, I mean, it depends how advanced you are, I suppose. For some people, they get to it in their 20s. For some people, in their 30s. For some people, their 40s, 50s, 60s, some never get to it. But I think just to start unfurling, start doing that shadow work so that you can peel off the layers of darkness, of sort of how we're all just sort of misfiring a little bit. And music is going to, that's my way of doing it. That's going to be my expression. So I've started writing again in my spare time.
Which is
it's pretty small minimal, amount. But I'm starting to make it a bit more of a priority. And like I said, because this place is opening me up, you know, I have, in order to preserve myself, I've had to really build a fortress, you know.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so it's and the work that I want to do, how I want to access this stuff, I want it to be gentle. So I'm just happy to let that fortress sort of crumble brick by brick, and I will just gently explore, be curious, do the work. But this is, the dreaming is absolutely doing that. And in the majority, it's the guests, it's the other people who are here that you know, you hear people's stories and you're so humbled by it. It's unbelievable what people go through, how the strength. You're just in awe. But it really helps you identify those different parts within yourself. It's just deeply human, and it just really helps you open up and start to take down the walls that you have.
Well, thank you so much for giving me your time today. And it's just been wonderful. And congratulations on creating such a beautiful space.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Wow, how soothing. What a wonderful experience. And to be taken away into the Powys countryside like that, sort of wish I was there now. But I'm in the studio, and it's the second best thing because Margaret's joined me, fresh from having interviewed Charlotte Church. And of course, I've got the lovely Hannah and Jack who helped me make the podcast. So lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming in.
Hello.
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 Margaret, first of all, that was, I mean, she's such a wonderful person. And I didn't know much about her. I knew of Charlotte Church, the prodigy singer, and as a child in front of all these sort of choirs and whatever, making records. But she seems to have such a grasp of life, of what nature does for us. Was that your impression?
It was really, it was just such a pleasure to meet her. She's just such a joyful kind of character of a person. You know, she just irradiated kind of happiness. It was such a pleasure to be in her company. And so I was really, really, really pleased to meet her. And to go up to that place, which is just, it's just like a little, slight little slice of heaven, really.
The Dreaming, it's
the
well
Dreaming.
Named.
Yeah. You're on the top of this valley with a huge, you know, forest, tall trees behind you with these massive moss-covered rocks that just, and the waterfall coming down just really right next to the house. And anyway, she just made it a beautiful little haven.
So it's all about the power of getting away. And that's a particularly wonderful place to get to. But and that idea of going on a retreat. Have you guys been on, Jack, Hannah? Have you ever sort of, I mean, do you retreat?
I don't think I've ever been on a retreat.
No.
But I feel like I can understand the benefits of it. Like, I know, like, the other day I was dropping someone off and it was in quite a nice, peaceful place. I was like, actually, just to sit here for an hour or so, and there was a load of birds tweeting. It was just lovely to sit there in that bit of peace for a while and kind of remove yourself from something until a nearby car started ringing someone, so which was very, very loud.
That's the problem. You've got to get away from it. How about you, Hannah?
Well, I haven't been on a retreat per se, but I had been thinking about going on Duke of Edinburgh expeditions. And that's sort of like, it's not the same thing because it's a lot muddier and a lot wetter, but that kind of cutting yourself off from the day to day and bringing yourself back to the essential things that you are, like your what you need to survive, what it is that you kind of care about the most, and then giving yourself space to kind of think without the pressures of everyday life.
That is so much part of why we do the podcast in some ways, and why we get out into the countryside, and why we work on Country Farm magazine. But it is that sort of finding yourself and finding the kind of essence of what makes you tick. Because I look at Jack across the room from me, you're probably the company's busiest man.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I'm a busy guy.
You're a very busy chap. So, you know, the retreat, we must send you on more retreats.
Yeah. Please.
Well, look, that's all power to Charlotte for creating that. Maybe she'll invite us all up sometime and we can get over our work stresses.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I'd love it. Just a chance to disconnect would be fantastic.
And she could sing to us.
Well, I was hoping to hear her sing, but I realise she sort of preserves that for her guests these days. And I don't know how much actual singing she does during the retreats, but she does definitely do sound healing. And that would be an amazing experience to do some sound healing with Charlotte Church and her wonderful voice. You can even hear how melodious her speaking voice is, can't you?
Yes.
She's just
and just a delicious laugh she's got.
Absolutely,
it's very musical.
Yeah. It's a whole body laugh, which is beautiful. Yeah.
Good opportunity to sort of, you've had this wonderful experience at it. We always have a little slot, Margaret, where we talk about sightings and happenings or in the wild of the countryside. Well, maybe start with you, Jack, because I know you've just been away. Have you seen anything, done anything?
Well, like I said, basically I had that nice little what I thought was going to be an hour of peaceful nature, and then got disturbed by a loud phone in a car. But I was going to bring something to the table this week that is not necessarily to do with nature, but I think is quite interesting, is obviously we're recording this just after the king got coronated. It was the coronation weekend. And they had the coronation celebration concert. And there was a whole chunk about nature in it and our natural world. And I just thought that was quite, it's nice that that's becoming more of a big topic. And also I think it was accompanied with the light show and the drone show, which was, I think, is a nicer alternative than just fireworks. And it was quite impressive as well. I think the whale, if you've seen it, the giant whale in drones, I thought was...
I don't know how they do that.
It was spectacular.
Loads of people flying drones. They must fly them. I don't know. It's magic. Drone magic.
It is impressive. But I think it was just a really nice thing that that's sort of becoming quite a... I think most of the stuff that's been quite big recently, a load of big shows and stuff like that and celebrations, the natural world and the impacts of global warming seem to be becoming a bit more of a regular thing in that. It's feeling a bit more normal and it's being a bit more championed, which it's nice to see. And especially that sort of global
definitely stage. King Charles III definitely is one of his, it's always been one of his sort of tenets of faith is like the natural world. So fingers crossed there's a more and more of that. But yeah, good spot. I didn't watch the concert, but I'm glad that I had that.
Recommend.
Had that in it. Okay.
Especially if you're a Lionel Richie fan.
Hannah, have you been? I know you've been.
Oh, yes. So I went to Wales this weekend. And
there's a surprise.
home.
Can't help myself.
Proper homeland.
Proper home. And saw sparrowhawks, swallows, house martins, chaffinches, really tiny baby blue tits looking so scruffy and ridiculous. Mm. Wooden enemies. Just everything. I was, properly happy this
weekend. Glowing like you've had a proper injection spring. Yes.
Retreat in nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to drag her into the studio today. Oh, bless you. That's lovely. That's lovely. And exactly what I'm sure a lot of listeners, particularly in the UK, enjoying this. It's kind of weird spring. It's been brilliant for wildlife, but perhaps not so brilliant for us. It's so sort of rainy and cloudy, but actually it seems to be the perfect cycle of a bit of sunshine, a bit of wet, quite warm. So everything's growing and singing. Anyway, we'll come to me in a minute. Margaret, how about you?
This weekend I went on a walk in an absolutely stunning bluebell wood, just across the top of a ridge just outside Cardiff. And it was beautiful. It was just on the edge of some farmland, some ancient woodland. And it was just went on for ages and ages and ages. And all you could see was just blue, a carpet of blue. It was absolutely stunning.
It is absolutely bluebell peak now, mid-May. My goodness. Yeah. And they're brilliant this year.
So I was so lucky to see that.
I'm still bubbling from going to NEP. I'm not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it next week because that's our NEP episode.
Really
possibly two episodes. It's so much. It's so exciting. Yes. But I did. I did have the most magnificent walk on the rewilded hill of Bryn Aru in the Banai, Brycheiniog. Brycheiniog.
More whales.
Yeah, more whales. Sorry, yes.
Very whales heavy.
And that just filled my tank refilled it. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. The work they're doing on there, the stump up for trees, people planting trees on this barren hillside, and fighting back the bracken. And it's beginning to work, and you can just see that life is coming back to this hill. On top of going to NEP, it's filled me with like hope that things can be turned around in Britain, and we can start to see a bit of wildlife coming back to some areas where it's largely gone. So, on that hopeful message, on top of happenings and sightings, last week I forgot to mention that I'd brought in some rhubarb for Hannah and Jack. Did you throw it in the compost?
No.
I mean, it has been languishing in the fridge because I went to Wales this weekend.
Okay, right.
But it will
did
be.
Did you go to Wales this weekend?
I did go to Wales this weekend. But it will be boiled down with loads and loads of sugar and eaten with probably double cream at some stage.
Lovely, good. I'm glad it's gone to a happy home.
No, I took it home. I did give a bit to Ben, one of our other podcast producers here, and he did just go straight for it. He had a big chomp out of it straight away.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Just as it was.
He went straight for the sauce, and
was he okay?
I mean, the face he pulled suggests he didn't enjoy it, but he said he did.
So, is that how he normally eats rhubarb?
Oh, I'm not sure. This is Ben.
I feel like probably it is.
We're a weird bunch, these podcast people.
Extraordinary. Goodness. Was he buzzing all day with this sort of sourness? Well, have you got any? Well, tell us about your sightings and happenings and rhubarb stories. Please do get in touch.
How do you like your rhubarb?
Yeah, raw. Get in touch with me. My email address is editor@countryfile.com. And send in any sounds that you might have recorded, particularly this bird song at the moment. Just fantastic. And the ones we choose as our sound or email of the week, we will send out a lovely book or other present from the podcast library, which Jack maintains with great
aplomb.
Yes.
That's why I couldn't get to Wales. Yeah. busy job in the library.
Yeah. We do have a lovely little email this week, which I was wondering whether, Hannah, you could...
Yes, of course. So this is from Martin in New York, USA. Absolutely love the podcast and look forward to it every week. As an expat living in the US, it really helps me have some connection with the English countryside, which I miss. May I put in a suggestion? I think you should have an annual fishing trip with Kevin Parr, or maybe even two outings per year. I really enjoy the past episodes with Kevin. Who would have thought listening to people fish could be so relaxing? Please keep up the good work.
That's so sweet. Yeah.
I agree.
Yes. You've got a definite vote there from Hannah and from me. I'm sure we had the best time when we went fishing with Kev.
Yeah, it was a retreat.
Shall we do it again then?
Definitely.
That's easy for you to say.
Yes, so much that I can't speak.
Okay, well, let's get Kevin to organise one soon and we'll go again. Thank you, Martin. I do have a fishing book for you because that is our email of the week. It's called Illuminated by Water, and I've read it. It's all about the sort of, by Malachy Tulloch, and it's just about going into the wild and having sort of wild experiences. Not so much fishing, but just the whole wonder of being close to nature in some wild places, and quite powerful stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. I'll ping it in the post to you all the way to the US. But that's it for this week. Next week, it's nip time. But for now, thank you for listening, and goodbye from me and all the team.
See you next time.
Oh, yes.